May I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please. I don't know whether you've been here over the last couple of weeks, but if you have, you will have heard some very challenging things in our gospel readings. And particularly last week, I found incredibly challenging. And it made me feel very uncomfortable when Jesus was having a dialogue with a rich person, a man. Well, you may be sitting there thinking this morning, well, June, if you could see the state of my bank account, you would know that I'm anything but rich. But actually, friends, we are all very, very rich in so many different ways. We're very blessed to live in a very desirable part of the world with all the amenities we need on tap. The very first time I encountered real poverty was on a trip to India. And the sight of seeing so many people really, really caught in a poverty trap. We were there in January and it was particularly cold. It'd been actually a frost overnight, which is unusual for Delhi. And in the morning, as our air-conditioned coach drove through the streets, we saw so many families that had spent the night in sort of tented accommodation, but not proper tents, just bits of this and that thrown over them. And they were whole families and children huddling. And then we saw a cart going along collecting those that had died overnight through the intense cold. That is poverty, not what your bank account has or doesn't have. They would have been very blessed if they had just one pair of shoes, but many we saw walking around barefooted, even in those cold conditions. There is that saying that there was a man standing in a queue, feeling very sorry for himself because he had no shoes, and then he saw a man with no feet. I don't know about you, but I dare not count how many pairs of shoes are in my wardrobe. I really don't. Or how many coats I've got, or how many jumpers, trousers, skirts, underwear, etc., etc. The truth of it is, all our homes here, I suspect, are filled with stuff, piles of it. In our reading today from Luke 12, we see Jesus telling us to sell our possessions and to give the money away. In other words, to have very few worldly possessions. This is something that most of us would find almost completely impossible to do, and I would hate to have to be personally challenged with that. But you know, I've often wondered, because I live in a very old cottage, which is a timber frame cottage, and I've often wondered that if the house caught fire and I was forced to leave in a hurry, what would I take? Yes, I'd take myself and my dog, obviously, but what else would I take if I had time? I don't know. But you know, I think it's worth considering for all of us what our real priorities are in life and those things that perhaps do mean much to us. I was talking to a friend the other day and she said she has a bag packed with one or two things that are really special to her, that if she ever had to leave in a hurry, she'd pick her bag up and go. It's a thought. I don't know if I could get all my treasured possessions in one bag, but there you go. But you know, it's worth considering. We can get rid of a lot of our stuff. And I think, you know, this is a thought here for Derek as you begin to prepare to downsize, Derek. This is sermon just for Derek today. It is actually a very sobering thought that each one of us one day will have to leave our homes and families and all our treasured possessions when God calls time on us. And we won't be given the 15 minutes like the residents of the Whaley Bridge had earlier to go and pack a suitcase and take with us the things that are important, an overnight bag. The essence of today's gospel is a call to trust God for every aspect of our lives and to be ready for him when he calls to take us home. And the passage ends up saying that you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And none of us know when that moment is going to be. In my youth, I was a girl guide, And our motto was, be prepared. Well, folks, the only way that we can be completely ready and prepared to meet our Maker is by trying to live a life following the guidelines and instruction that he's given us. The Bible, if you like, is our heavenly sat-nav. Okay, we sometimes make a few little deviations. We think we know better. Actually, if we go this way, we can get there in the end, like we do with our own driving and listening to sat-navs. We think they don't always know the answer. But, you know, in the end, when we come to that point, the end of our lives, the words that we want to hear are, you have arrived at your destination. I called this sermon today, Who or What Can We Really Trust? I'd like to think that we could totally trust our nearest and dearest, and in most cases we can. But then every now and again we hear of people that have been really badly let down and the trust has been broken, even in relationships that they thought were absolutely soundproof. I came across a quote this week which really struck a chord with me, and it was this: a single lie discovered is enough to create doubt in every truth expressed. That is such a profound statement, isn't it? Because if someone lies to us just once and we find out they've lied, we would never completely trust. We would always have that doubt in our mind to what they might be telling us in the future. And we certainly can't trust all that we read in the newspapers or in the internet. I thought I could trust my dear old watch until a few Sundays ago. I was watching it and thinking, oh, I've got plenty of time before I come to church. And I realised it had stopped. And I lost a whole hour. I don't know how I made it, but by the grace of God, I did. And I didn't get caught speeding either. But even my watch let me down. Actually, the only person that we really can completely trust wholeheartedly is God. And the sadness is that many of us don't trust him either. So what do we rely on? We can trust him. Because you know something? He doesn't have a day off. He doesn't go off in a sulk. He doesn't move away just when we're getting to know him. He doesn't take holidays like Derwin has. Sorry, Derwin, if you listen to this over the net, but you are entitled to holidays. His internet, unlike mine, is always running, has a connection. And if we can't hear him, it's not his connection that's wrong, it's ours. The fault is always our end. He's always there for us, always loving us. We can trust him with all our hopes and our fears and our secrets. And I promise you something, he will never spill the beans or gossip about you. That's worth remembering. All he asks of us is to simply trust him. I was really blessed as a child to have a father who I could trust completely. My sister and I would climb up some steps in the garden. And when we got to the top, he would say, close your eyes, girls, and we'd close our eyes, and then we would jump off the top into his arms. Obviously, I wasn't this size then. I was very small and very light. And of course, he always caught us. We never, ever doubted that he wouldn't catch us. That was complete trust in him. And I know that I'm very blessed to have had a father I could trust. But the image is now of God wanting us to trust him, to have that complete trust in him in all things, at all times. His total care that when it's our time to go home, our spiritual suitcase will be ready, bulging with his words and promises. And actually, you know something? The only thing you can put in that suitcase as we depart from here is love, because love is eternal. It's the only thing we take with us. Everything else we have to walk away from. So 15 minutes to pack a suitcase is useless, because all you want is love. And we share that love daily, don't we? We share it with each other. We feel it here when we come to church. There's so much love around. We feel it with our family. And that love is so important. It's important to share that love, to tell people you love them, to show them you love them in your ways, your words and your acts. So do that today. Love is so important. And so when we meet that moment of meeting Jesus face to face, we can leave behind all that stuff that we've accumulated throughout our lives, because we won't need it. Our suitcases will be light and we're full of love. And I'm hoping at that moment our spiritual sat-nav will say, you have arrived at your destination. Amen.